Okay, great. So I'm told that these evenings usually begin with a sitting, but I'm going to talk a little bit first to just lay some context. Then we'll sit, and then I'll speak, and then we'll hopefully have time for some questions before. I'm also told we have a hard stop at 9 o'clock. I was just here not long ago, but I don't remember anything anymore about anything, so I was just glad for the reminder. And you can all remind me in case I forget again. So there are many forms and styles and methods, of course, of meditation practice. I think of meditation largely as a skills training. It certainly doesn't need to be tied to any belief system or dogma. It's about cultivating attention in such a way so that we can discover things for ourselves. And so the first training in attention is really about stabilizing our attention. It's taking our awareness, which so often for us, for many of us at any rate, is quite scattered and distracted and sort of all over the place. And it's bringing that energy, that attention together and resting so that we get more settled, more centered over time. You know, maybe not in the first minute and a half, but over time. And that is what is classically called concentration. Sometimes people have a bad reaction to the word concentration. I've seen that where it means something like harsh or kind of overly fierce, and like you're going to take that attention, that energy, and you're going to squeeze it down on top of an object, and you're going to hold it really tight, and you're going to resent and reject anything else that might come your way. So that doesn't really work. That might be very habituated, but it actually doesn't work. But what we're talking about is a much more gentle process that usually involves coming back to a chosen object again and again and again and again. So there's nothing wrong with having to do that. That's the actual training, okay? The next great skill, the next quality that's really developed is mindfulness, which is like the word of the hour. I came down by train today, and as many of you have heard me say, I always wait for the conductor to make those announcements, like, because sometimes they say, please be mindful of the gap between the train and the station platform. And every time they do, I get really excited. I think, oh, they said mindful. Occasionally they say what they really mean, which is please be careful of the gap between the train and the station platform. And I have had conductors who are very terse, who simply say, there's a gap. You know, no hint of how they want you to relate to it. And today was more like on the careful side of things. They didn't use the word mindful, which was a little disappointing. Classically, mindfulness means a quality of attention where our perception of what's happening in the present moment is not so distorted by old habits. You know, so maybe, for example, something uncomfortable arises in our body or emotionally, and maybe we have the habit, as many of us do, of right away projecting it into the future, like, what's it going to feel like in 5 minutes? What's it going to feel like in 20 minutes? Right? And so we add all of that anticipated difficulty to what's actually going on, thereby making it much worse. We have lots of habits like that, and we get to see them. We get to see them arise, and we get to let go of them, so that we can pay attention to what our experience actually is without so many distortions, so many filters. Even though they may arise, and they usually do, we don't have to be so entangled in them. So that's why it said that mindfulness, the cultivation of mindfulness, is the path to insight or wisdom, because we're getting to have a cleaner, clearer view of what our experience is. What's actually going on right now? Not what's going on now plus all of my imagination of how horrible it's going to get, right? And so we get a lot of personal and more universal insights out of that clearer seeing. And then the third great skill is loving kindness or compassion, especially beginning with a kind of self-compassion. And when I say these are skills, it doesn't mean that they're like divided. Certainly one might be highly emphasized in a certain method or at a certain moment, but we're really cultivating all of them. So the idea behind, say, self-compassion is that if we can learn to let go of a mistake and move on with more determination to try again, to be more skilled, whatever it is, that's a better way to get something done and make a change or make progress in something than castigating ourselves for a year and a half. You're the worst person that ever lived. I can't believe you made that mistake. You're always making mistakes. Or it's like, you know, there's something that's just sort of vicious and self-fulfilling about that. We just cycle down and we're stuck. So we don't have the kind of energy we need to say, yeah, that was really, I really blew it. This is the lesson learned. Now I'm starting over. Right? So it's not like we try to pretend we're perfect or we didn't make a mistake, but what is the best way to make progress, to move on, to make a change? And we discover, and I understand that research is starting to reinforce this, that the best way is actually to have some kind of compassion for oneself. So it's like resilience, right? You made a mistake, you see it, you admit it, you see what has to change, and you go on without all that blame and self-judgment. So we're going to practice what was the very first technique I ever learned, and all three are embodied in this practice, which is really a foundational practice. When I say it's a foundational practice, a lot of people, and this is sort of our Western linear thinking, we think, oh, that's like the baby stuff, you know, and you get through it, and then you never have to do it again because you're like so far beyond. That's like 101. Whoever thinks about 101 anymore, right? So I was in New York the other day, and somebody said to me, why don't you teach a class with really advanced techniques? And I thought, huh, what would those be? I'm not really sure. Like, I've been practicing since January 7th, 1971, right? And this is the first technique I ever learned. Sit down and feel your breath. Just feel the normal, natural breath. And really, honestly, many times these days, 45 years later, when I sit, that's what I do. It's not exactly within this system anyway that there are advanced techniques that you have to earn your way to through some special experience. Your experience is always changing. Your heart is always opening. Your understanding is always deepening. But using the same old technique, right? You're just going deeper and deeper and deeper with it. So I sort of didn't know what to tell this person that wouldn't be awfully disappointing. Like, I'll think about it, but, you know, like, I don't think it exists. Come to the same old teaching, you know? Again, something like that. So this is the first technique I ever used. It's a foundational technique. We go back to it over and over and over again because we continually learn different things about ourselves and about these skills as we do that. So, and that is sit and feel your breath. It means choose an object in the present moment where you can rest your attention, something that's happening anyway that you don't have to create, right? The classic one is feeling your breath, and I'll talk in a moment about what to do if that doesn't work for you. But let's say it's your breath. It's just the normal, natural breath. You're not trying to make it deeper or different. You find the place where the breath is strongest for you or clearest for you. Bring your attention there and rest. See if you can feel one breath. And what most of us discover is that somehow it's not 900 breaths before your attention starts to wander. It's two, or one, or a half, or maybe four, and then you're gone. You're like anticipating the new Amtrak trains that are coming in 4 years, and you're seeing yourself riding in them and getting to DC in half the time. Or your mind jumps to the past and you're going over and over and over and over some situation where you can't change anyway, right? It happened that way, but you're going over and over and over and over and over. So you realize that, maybe right away, maybe it's some time before you realize that. But that moment when you do realize you've strayed from the breath, that is the magic moment. Because that's the moment we have the chance to gently let go and begin again without blaming ourselves, without being down on ourselves. We let go and we start over. That's like the muscle memory we're developing, okay? For some people, the breath doesn't work for whatever reason, physical, emotional. It's not really like a, you know, a neutral place to be hanging out. So we just use those same principles. Maybe it's listening to sound that you use instead, or feeling things in your body, something that's happening anyway that you don't have to struggle to come to. It's one moment at a time of that experience. Your attention will wander. Then comes the crucial moment. You let go and you start again, okay? So I'm going to guide you through it. See if you can sit comfortably. You can close your eyes or not, however you feel most at ease. If you get really sleepy, it's fine to open your eyes and continue on. Dougie's going to sit. You can start by listening to sound. Sound of my voice or other sounds. It's a way of relaxing deep inside, allowing our experience to come and go. It's like the sounds just wash through you. You bring your attention to the feeling of your body sitting, whatever sensations you discover. Bring your attention to your hands and see if you can make the shift from the more conceptual level, like of fingers, to the world of direct sensation, picking up pulsing, throbbing, pressure, whatever it might be. You don't have to name these things, but feel them. And then bring your attention to the feeling of your breath, if in fact it's the breath that you're using as that chosen object. This again is just the normal, natural breath, wherever you feel it most strongly. That may be the nostrils or the chest or the abdomen. You find that place, bring your attention there and rest. See if you can feel one breath without concern for what's already gone by, without leaning forward for even the very next breath, just this one. And if you like, you can use a quiet mental notation like in, out, or rising, falling to help support the awareness of the breath, but very quiet. So your attention is really going to feeling the breath, one breath at a time. And remember, if your attention wanders, you get lost, you fall asleep, somehow you get disconnected from the breath, nothing's been ruined, it's very natural. The most important thing is really practicing letting go and beginning again. It's what one of my teachers called exercising the letting go muscle. You let go as gently as you can. And return to feeling the breath with as much kindness for yourself as you can. And if you have to do that over and over and over again in the next few minutes, it's totally fine.